We are in the second of our shiurim on Hasidic Rebbes. We did the Baal Shem Tov last week, obviously the founder of Hasidut, although the Baal Shem Tov didn't necessarily view himself as a founder of the movement, nor did Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya, the person we're going to be learning about today, necessarily view himself as part of a movement. So who was Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya? So we know basically when he was born, 1710. We know when he died, 1784. We know that when he, at some point, he was the rabbi of Shargorod, which is in Poland, around 1740. He leaves that job circa 1750s. And we know that somewhere in the 1780s, he publishes four very, very important works because it's really the first works of written Hasidus, which is the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Ben Poras Yosef, Tofnas Paneach, and Mixonas Pasim. What also do we know about Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya? So number one is, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago when we discussed the Baal Shem Tov, so one thing we learned was that there was Chasidut before there was Chasidut. And we said that the Baal Shem Tov was really leading a revolution in the way Chasidut was studied, or in the way Chasidut was experienced, right? Chasidus, until the Baal Shem Tov, was a pietistic and ascetic movement. Most of the Chasidim, these mystical people, some of them who became Baalei Shem, these healers that were and spiritual advisors for communities, most of them were ascetics. They refrained from experiences within the world. Whereas the Baal Shem Tov was selling a different form of mysticism based on the statement of let atar panui mine, that there is no place that is empty of him. Since there's no place that's empty of him, therefore, in every experience that we have, it's potentially a yichud, it's potentially a way of unifying the spiritual realms, and that's why it was very, very important. Which leads us to Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya, who seems to be, at least from our understanding, a chassid of the first sort, or the prehistoric chassid, if you will, the ones that came before the Besht. He has many ascetic tendencies. We're going to see those ascetic tendencies coming out in some of his writings. And his contact with the Besht, with the Baal Shem Tov, seems to recalibrate those tendencies, with the Baal Shem Tov pushing him more towards a materialistic experience, you know, invest in this world and find ways to find spiritual experiences within the world. And part of that comes with the story of why it is that Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya was fired as rabbi of Shargorod, which, less mandapalig, everyone agrees that he was fired circa 1740s, somewhere, 1750. Everyone agrees that he was fired from that position. The question is, why was he fired from that position? Okay, so there are two sets of sources that are important for understanding it. Source number one for why he left Shargorod is in his own Toldos Yaakov Yosef, in Parshas Naso. So Toldos Yaakov Yosef is built off the Parshios. They're drushos that he gave, extraordinarily lengthy. One thing we're going to discover about Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya is, regardless of whether he was ascetic or not ascetic, the fact is that the man was, from amongst the early Hasidim, was one of the great Bikiyim, his knowledge base was exceptionally, exceptionally broad. And because his knowledge base was exceptionally broad, he therefore had a lot to call on when he was writing, and that's probably why he became the rabbi of a significant community like Shargorod. They wanted someone who was this bucky. They wanted someone who had this exceptional breadth of knowledge, and that's probably why he was brought there. Let's see his portion in Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and then we'll see the other portion in Shivchei HaBesht as to why he was no longer the rabbi of Shargorod, and we'll see how the two kind of play off of one another and give very, very different perspectives as to why he was fired. So interestingly enough, if you're going to look for a place of discussing why you're upset about the Jews around you, so there's a couple of areas that you're going to use as your entrance point. Either you'll use Korach, or you'll use the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf. So he uses the sin of the golden calf. So Amru, Asei lanu Elohim sheyolchu lefaneinu, ka'anachnu kibira belo manhig. So the Jewish people said, let's make for ourselves a god who will go before us, because we are like a palace without a leader. Shu osik tamid bimlachto malach Hashem, v'anachnu b'nei ha'ir kitzon belo roeh. What was the complaint of the Jewish people? The complaint of the Jewish people was that, hey, listen, we need a leader. We need someone to be involved with us. But where is Moshe? Moshe is tamid bimlachto malachei Hashem. Where's Moshe? Moshe is up on Har Sinai studying Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's all up, you know, in the highest of the high, in the deepest of the deep, in the skyest of the sky. And we're down here with nothing. Where's our leader? The Jewish people are saying, listen, we don't know what to do. We need Srara, we need someone who's going to be responsible, and we need a manik, we need a leader. Ubiaro divrehem vermuki zemosha ish lo yadanu mehayalo. And they say, we don't know what happened to Moshe, the rotzelomar. What does that mean to say? Kize Moshe Shaya ish gever begvurin lius manhig ata lo yadanu mahayalo shalakach derech acheres livchor bivdida. What happened? We don't know what happened to Moshe, because Moshe left us to be, what does bdida mean? To be alone, to be on himself. Basically, Moshe became a pre-Beshtian chassid, right? Moshe was on his own, communing with the God, while all of us, we needed a leader. And now, because Moshe needs to be alone, and he needs to be, you know, doing his bodidus, you know, all by himself, alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just the two of them learning. We get it. But he's not worthy to be our leader. What type of person do we need? We need a person who's going to be with us in our entirety, in all of our entirety. He needs to be us b'machal, with our eating, and b'tfilah, shelo yifros mimenu v'choleis, right? And he won't, you know, be separating from us all the time. We need a chevraman. We need someone who's going to be involved with us, not Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to be, you know, alone communing with God up on the heavens. V'zeh she'amru asher yachulu faneinu, mash'ein kein, what do we need? We need someone to go before us, unlike Moshe, d'yisrael shehim nifradin mimenu. That what were they? They were separated from him. Moshe was unique, singular. Ayidei anane yakar v'achilas man v'aremez ledoros ayidei she'ose im anshe yichidim minyan bifnei atzmo. It's like some, you know, it's like someone who has his own special minyan, his own special things. V'kamino ochel imayim, he doesn't eat with them. B'mesiba at the parties klal shezah yasiba le'erev rav lasos egal zahav. Right, this is why the Erev Rav made an Egel Zahav. Okay, so now let's follow Rav Yaakov Yosef's philosophy down, or his interpretation, all the way down to its end. So the Jewish people, they were upset that Moshe Rabbeinu was separating from them. He wasn't eating with them. He wasn't drinking with them. He wasn't hanging out with them at the parties. What was he doing? He was going up to Har Sinai, communing alone with God, and this is Spodidus, while they were down here on earth, living their regular lives, going to parties, eating, drinking, davening, doing whatever they do. And Moshe, he has his own special minion because he can't daven with the rest of them. And he's doing everything and they can't even look him in the eye. And they said, this is not someone who can lead us.
So Cheta Egel was Moshe's fault?
No. So the implication that Rav Yaakov Yosef is what should they have understood?
Right.
What should they have understood? They should have understood that Moshe was a special individual, Moshe was an individual of unique spiritual experience. And because he was an individual of unique spiritual experience, he couldn't be involved with them.
But even wasn't that time period where he wasn't going to be involved a temporary delineated time anyway? They knew he was coming down.
You're asking a Torah interpretive question on a Hasidisha. Okay, right. We're in the mystical heights now. He's explaining what the deeper level is. Not what. Okay. So we get into this. He says K'masha kaza b'zohar na b'chein l'doros. He says this is true for generations. Mitzad ze yata egel azahav shil okay azahav shenimnatne al pi asrara b'shvil zahav u'ksein tzipik b'yad oseh shiduchim ba'ir. He says why do these things get made? They get made because there aren't proper leaderships. Moshe shamati perish hashas. Moshe ravchem ganav or kobiyosto shegoniv nefashos kedei lechasenim shishim ribo Yisrael. Umishum hachi says because of this, ata rabim heim rabbanim ba'ir. That's why we have so many rabbis in every city now. V'zeh shamar shel yochuluf aninu sheivu leelokut harbei shehu arav v'amuchutanim ad shemitzar zeh nasak tatos umiribos ba'ir. What they want? They wanted a different rabbi for everything. Right? They didn't want one person. V'zesh amar v'yishmav Yoshua. And he says, kol milchama b'machaneh. That's why he says, Yoshua hears, it sounds like there's a war. Why? Because everybody wants their own thing. Shehi kol milchamos k'totos merivos. What was that? It was all the arguments that we're having because everybody wanted their own, you know, kind of particular rabbi to do their own particular thing. And then what happens? Nishtabru haluchos. What happens? The luchos are destroyed. Shinistalka Torah hamehair, that the Torah was removed from the city. Ad shebarach mehashem yisparach chazar, but with God's compassion it returned. V'shalach Moshe v'tachana egel afar k'dei laharoso she'im bo mamish. Right? They had to see that the egel had no substance to it. Af sheyelchu lefana v'chazar b'klu ato l'rav. Ubada kisuto kisuta yin acharze b'mitzvah sota b'tavin heitev nispayer atov min ara shemei Hashem meisu becherev mehem b'makefa him b'adrokan v'sok shamad Moshe b'tfila v'nimchal Yisrael v'tziva asos mishkan mikesef shel Yisrael levad. What do the Jewish people have to know? They had to learn that there are certain people who are separate, that they are different, that this is what it means for Moshe to be their rabbi, right? And he says, he says, why is it right afterwards you have them taking a truma, something separating? Haremez ledoros. This is an indication for generations. Shiasu beis midrash liyichidei Yisrael. That you need to make a special place for learning for the individuals, the special individuals of Israel. Shiyu nifradim mehamonei am. That they need to be separated from the rest of the people. Because they can't be with everybody else. V'hi tikun, that is the way you correct. Says that's why you have a special place for the Kohanim and a special place for the Israelites in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because there has to be a special experience. There has to be a separateness for certain individuals, for certain particular individuals amongst the people. Okay, nice little explanation. Mystical. And what does he say? If you go skip down a few lines, Va'ani HaKosev, I, the writer, the author, Havei Uvda Hanal, V'didan Havei Uvda Hanal, this happened to me. Me'resha L'seifa, from the beginning to the end. Umarumaz Lama Dafka Zeh Ish Asa La'asos Bama B'shar Grod. And he says, and if you know, this is an indication or it's an implication of what happened to me in Shar Grod. Implication, why was it that Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya was removed from his position at Shar Grod? Anyone?
Uninvolved, shall we say.
Yeah, he was, he was living in his ivory tower, studying Torah, which he thought was his responsibility. That was how he interpreted leadership. And they didn't like that. They wanted, some guy who would play baseball with us on Sundays, and they wanted someone who would, schmooze with us at the Kiddush, and who would do, I don't do such things. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do such things. I model my leadership after Moshe Rabbeinu. So that, the indication would seem to be, if we were to put it into, historical terminology, what would we say? So once upon a time, Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya was the ascetic separatist. But then he met the Baal Shem Tov, and he became, you know, the Chevroman, and he understood that there were opportunities of spiritual uplift also in, you know, very material acts. That's possible. And what was the reason they got rid of him in Shargarad? Because of his asceticism and his separateness. That's one. You look in Shivchei Abesht, and you get an entirely different story. Shivchei Abesht, which is a later work, it's a collection of stories that were told about the Baal Shem Tov much later on, almost even 100 years after the Baal Shem Tov passed. So they have one section, Shivchei Abesht, is how he met the Rav Yaakov Yosef of Ponoi. So he says, "May iti harav mufursim machasir v'chachem tehilat kodesh polnoa." So he says, this is the story of the famous, the chassid, the bright, the brilliant of the holy city of Polnoa. Shaya av beisin b'kilas kodesh Shargarad. He was the av beisin. He was the rabbi in the community in Shargarad. Shama hamochiach min Polnoa. Shabal Shem Tov ba l'kilas kodesh Moliv. What did he hear? He heard that the Baal Shem Tov was coming to Moliv. Amar libo. So he says to himself, Esagamani, I'm going to go there also. Kilo aya adain chassid. He still wasn't a chassid yet when he was in Shargarad. V'nasa uba be'erv Shabbos kodesh elav kodem tefilas boker. And he comes to him on Friday morning before Shacharis. V'ra'ash abal shem tov me'ashin lulki. He's smoking. V'yazet avar tmiya. V'achar kach b'shas ha'tefila. He says, then when we finally daven, Bachisi b'chiyaga gedola shlo bachisi miyamai. I was davening with the Baal Shem Tov, and I started to cry in a way that I never cried before. Ve'evanti shelo mishali ha'isazosa b'chiya. And I understood that it wasn't my own tears that were falling here, but it was the tears of another. V'achar kach nasa Baal Shem Tov le'eretz Yisrael. Then the Baal Shem Tov went on a visit to the land of Israel. V'nasharti mishomam, and I was confused. Ad shechazar. Az hitchalti linso alav, so I started going to him. V'yashavti etzlo zman, and I learned by him for a while. V'ya Baal Shem Tov omer shatzirich lagbioti, and he said he needed to uplift me. V'yashavti la'erech chamisha shavuos, I was there for 5 weeks. V'sha'alti imasai yogioti osi rumala, so he says, when will you lift me up? And he says, v'ashar shamati me'erav dekilaseinu moreinu Gedalia zechorno lebracha. The rest of the story I heard from Gedalia, the rabbi. V'amar she'shama me'erav anal, he says he heard from this very same rabbi, she'amuchiach haya rishona lepulotav, she'bay lav lekilas kodesh shargarad, al shabbos v'bikesh menu she'ichtach seinitzlo. He says, I heard that what happened, the Baal Shem Tov came to Shargarad, and he asked if he could stay at the rabbi's house. V'lo yishiv panav rikam. Okay, v'bikesh menu she'yaseh lo minyan b'veiso lehispalel. And what did he request? He requested that he have a special minyan in his house to daven. V'nasan lo rishus, gave him permission. Aval ba'atzmo halach lebeis kneses, but the Rav of Shargarad, he went to shul. U'v'shabes, g'shahalach ha'melchiach l'drosh, b'kesh mimenu she'ilech b'drasha. V'yibisho be'kaf regal v'yadrosh ra'amar b'libo, ein zekim navi. What they were mechabed, the Baal Shem Tov, that he should give the drasha. And what did he say? This guy is a prophet. Kiminayin yodea machshavato v'nid bakbo. And immediately, the Rav Yaakov Yosef of Pono was so impressed by him, he wanted to be close to him. V'techep b'kesh anshei ha'kal al asura shlishis. V'yatamu alehem ki yodim she'inu machzikim ha'chasidim. The people were surprised to see Rav Yaakov Yosef of Pono, or Rav Yaakov Yosef at the time of Shargarad, all of a sudden, you know, having this relationship. They didn't know he was a chassid. All of a sudden, he's hanging out with the chassidim. V'achar kach, k'shehichzik harav b'tzidkaso, hitchilu anshei ha'ir larivimo. So what was it that caused the people of Shargarad to dislike Rav Yaakov Yosef? What caused them to dislike him was that now he was hanging out with the Baal Shem Tov. V'nasu lo sonim gedolim.
Maybe he gave him response. Maybe they could see that in a sense he looked up to the Baal Shem Tov.
It could be. V'amachlokes haya holech v'chazek ad shegirshu oso min ha'ir be'er Shabbos Kodesh v'hutrach lishvot v'kfar echad. So the implication of Shivchei Abesht, unlike Rav Yaakov Yosef's own words, the implication of Shivchei Abesht is that because Rav Yaakov Yosef became a chassid, that's why he was chased away from Shargarad. So the reason the story in Shivchei Abesht is unlikely, whereas the implication of the story in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef is more likely, is because A, Shivchei Abesht, we already said, is written years later, all from hearsay, whereas Toldos Yaakov Yosef is written in the hand of Rav Yaakov Yosef. Number two is we know there was no organized movement. The organized movement of Chassidus is not going to start until after the one who really becomes the Rav Yaakov Yosef is going to publicize the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. You know, he's a prolific writer. The person who's going to create a movement over which, you know, we'll call Chassidus, the first person to have a court, the first person to really create for himself, you know, what would later be called Chassidim, that's Rav Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mezrich. We'll get to the Maggid of Mezrich, not this week, but the following week. Okay, we'll get to the Maggid of Mezrich. But Rav Yaakov Yosef writes in his own pen that it seems to be his own commitment to asceticism, which was the point of machlokes, the point of argument between the Jewish people of Shargarad and Rav Yaakov Yosef. That being said, we pointed out that he was an immense Talmud Chacham. He was a scholar first class who had encyclopedic knowledge of Torah. And because of that, over the rest of his life, he's going to get significant rabbinic positions. He's going to end up in Raskov, Nemirov, and then finally in Polnoya, where he settles. So, you know, he had a little trouble finding his place. What you see when you read the Toldos Yaakov Yosef is that not only was his knowledge encyclopedic, but it's eclectic also. You can see he has ascetic tendencies that may have come from before he had the contact with the Baal Shem Tov, but he also is going to be expressing some of the classic Hasidic tropes that we're going to see, the dualism of, you know, the spirit and the form, and this is things that we're going to see. But he did believe, and this is something we see, he did believe that there were individuals who were above others, and those individuals above others had to be treated differently and cared for differently. What does that sound like? Anyone ever been to a Hasidish shul? Does everybody sit in the same place? No, the Rebbe gets a special seat, right? Because the Rebbe has a special status. And, you know, amongst some Hasidim, the Rebbe davens behind the wall. And, you know, the Rebbe is given specific times. It's embedded within Rav Yaakov Yosef's philosophy. So you already see the notion of the Rebbe being built there. We're going to see someone like Rav Eli Melech of Lizhansk, who, you know, he kind of creates what the image of the Rebbe really is. But Rav Yaakov Yosef is, you know, don't think this is totally foreign from the Baal Shem Tov's philosophy. You're right, he's an ascetic, but he also believes that some people are more equal than others, we'll say. And, you know, that's part of the Hasidic experience, that the Rebbe is your conduit for your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't think that's totally foreign to the experience. Okay, so once I was in Parshas Naso in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, I thought I would you know, just choose a piece of it, and we're going to see some of his notions. One of the things that he comes up with a lot is this notion or this duality between what he calls Chomer and Surah. Everything in the world is made up of material, and then there's form. The challenge, let's say, of every human being is we have Chomer, we are material beings, and our soul is what gives form to our material existence. The same thing, a city has a material existence, and the investment of the people who live within that city and how they challenge that city or that state and what direction it goes, they are the ones who give form to it. And then there are men or individuals who are men of form, who are higher above the rest of us, and they are people who are ruled by the form, and they've rejected all requirements of the material. These are some of, you know, kind of the lurking behind Rav Yaakov Yosef's philosophy. So one of the wonderful things he does is because he's so encyclopedic and he realizes he's going to be quoting 7 or 8 different sources and Talmudic statements, so one of the things he does is paragraph number one here, you see, this is Taldos Yaakov Yosef Naso Dalid, is he's going to tell you every Gemara that he's going to quote. So this is the first paragraph. I'm just going to summarize it for you. He says, I'm going to quote the Gemara in Erevin Daf Yudches Amud Beis. I'm going to quote the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yudches, as well as, you know, a number of other Gemaras, so just be prepared. You know, it's like kind of giving out source sheets. You know, here's your source sheet, prepare. Okay. So he says as follows. So Alpizeh, I'm reading from the second paragraph here. Yuvan Perush Hashas De Erevin Perik Bet. So he says, I'm going to tell you the explanation of Erevin in the second chapter. What chapter is that? Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, 18b. Amar Rami Yirmiyah Bar Abba, thus says Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the temple was destroyed, Dayo La'olam Sheyishtamesh B'Beis Osios, it's enough, the world needs only to use 2 letters. What are those 2 letters? So we say it last parak in all of Tehillim. Kol hanishama tehalel ya yud hey. Okay, those are the 2 letters, right? Hashem's name is yud and hey and vav and hey. But after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, all you need is the yud and the hey. That's what he says. Okay, the kasva tosvos pirush Rabbeinu Chananel or kari bay hanishama bidagesh. So Tosfos says you should read Kol HaNishama, every soul praises you, but don't read it as Nishama, soul, but Nishama with a dagesh, which he says means, or Milashon Shimamon V'Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Kol HaNishama, all the destruction, now only requires the Yud and the Hey. Okay? And he says, I wrote about this, the Marsha wrote a little bit about this, and I wrote about this also in Parsha Pekudeh. Okay, and now he's going to explain what it all means. Now I'm going to explain what you all means. Diyesh be'adam, pratei chomer v'tzura. Every person has material and form. Chomer and tzura. Shehem ha'neshama ve'aguf. You have the soul, which is the form, and the guf, which is the material. V'chem v'chalus ha'olam. That's the way the world works. That's the way it works. Yish chomer b'tzura. There is material and form. Yesh ba'alei haguf. There are some people who are ruled by their guf, by their material. Hamitavin tavas haguf. That what are they constantly looking for? What are they constantly seeking? The desires of the flesh. Yesh ba'alei neshama. There are some people who are ruled by their souls. Harodchim achar tavos ruchani shaneshama v'sneheisbo. And they seek out spiritual endeavors that give joy and give pleasure to the neshama. Uve'emes, and in truth, k'mo ba'adam prati tachlis hadavar shiasa michomer tzura, just like the job of each and every individual person is to do what? It's to turn his material existence, his physical existence, into form. Kach b'chlalos ha'ir o medina, the same thing is true of a city or a state. Tachlis hadavar, their purpose, shiashlichu achar gavam tanu geaguf, that they should throw the desires of the flesh behind them, v'lachzor, and to seek out achar tanu gea neshama, and to seek out spiritual endeavors. However, ach mima kev davar zeh, what is it that stops it? So here he quotes Gemara in Brachos daf Yitzayin Amud Aleph. What's stopping us from, you know, involving ourselves only in spiritual endeavors? What's stopping us? Soor Shebaisa Vishibud Malchios Ovde Kochavim. What is it? He quotes here Rav Alexandri in the Gemara in Brachos. Soor Shebaisa. So Pesach is not so far behind us. Soor Shebaisa, that is the yeast in the dough that causes it to rise, which here we're going to interpret as pride or the Yetzer Hara, and the fact that we are ruled by others. That, you know, Shibud Malchios, that basically we're living under another governmental rule. Okay, Hanal Sham Ispala Yiratzon Shetachniyem Milfaneinu Macharenu. It says, then we say a tefillah that you should push down those who are before us and those who are behind us. Okay? Velinira, we're starting the top of paragraph 3. Velinira, it seems to me, Dehabaha Talya, that the two obstacles to spiritual endeavors are dependent on one another. Di'im yuchnas orb sheba isa shi lefanenu, if we're able to suppress the yeast in the dough, which is in front of us, mimela yusar shibud malchios, so it won't seem so bad, and we won't worry so much about being ruled over by another. V'hu adim ibcha, and the same thing is true in the other way. If we are able to throw off the yoke of our oppressors, so then our yetzer hara, or our pride, will be less also. Okay, so how's he going to explain this? So he says, b'perik hei da'ervin, in the fifth parak of Erevin, Nun Hei Amid Aleph. He's going to explain now how this all works. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Bashamayim Hi. Famous words in Nitzavim, Parshat Nitzavim, that Hashem says, Ki HaMitzvah Azos, this mitzvah is not in the heavens. It's not in the heavens. Okay, what is this mitzvah? For the most part, at least the Gemara assumes that this mitzvah is referring to Talmud Torah. What does that mean? Lo Bashamayim Hi. Lo timtza begasei ruach. You're not going to find prideful people. You're not going to find prideful people studying Torah, right? People who think too much, gasei ruach. People who are fat-winded. We'll just, you know, to give a very literal translation of it. People who are fat women. You're not going to find them studying Torah. Lo me'ever layam. So too, it is not across the ocean. What does that mean? Lo timsa, lo besachranim, velo tibitagarim. You're not going to find it amongst merchants and traders. Here we have two things also. What are those two things? Gasei ruach, right? What does yeast do to dough? It causes it to rise and become fat, right? So you're not going to find Torah amongst the expanded. And so too, why is it we're working so hard? Working so hard because we live under a government that, you know, requires us to pay an immense amount of taxes. It's expensive to live here because of Shibud Malchios, right? Because we are living under the yoke of another. So here you have a parallel of the two. Okay? So what is preventing us from learning Torah? Our pride. And the fact that we're, you know, constantly handling to make money. That's also preventing us from learning Torah. Problem is that the Gemara in Erechin seems to contradict this. Why? So he says, the Gemara in Erechin says, Takanta lemisapre lashon hara v'gasei ruach. What should you do if someone speaks a lot of gossip, someone's a gossiper, or someone is gasei ruach, or someone's very prideful? What do you do about this guy? So im tamid chacham, if the guy is a tamid chacham, he's a scholar, yasok v'torah, he should study Torah. V'im am ha'aretz, but if he's a ignoramus, what should he do? Yashpil da'ato. What should he do? He should learn some Musar, and he should realize he's not so great. Not what he thinks he is. Ukaperish marsha, sham. Ki gasei ruach, misapri lashon hara, shutvin zeh, nimshach mizeh. He points out the marsha, says there that prideful people and gossipers, they go together. Right? It's the same emotion. Yuyan shan. Vafilu hachi, but regardless of whether they go together, yishtakanta legasei ruach. You can fix it if you got pride. How do you fix it? Shiasok b'torah. You said study Torah. But wait a minute. This Gemara in Erechin tells me that if I have a lot of pride, if I have hubris, what should I do? I should study Torah. You told me in the Gemara in Erevin, someone with hubris, someone with pride, can't study Torah. How am I going to study Torah if I can't study Torah? All right? That's his question. Everyone got the question? Contradiction between two Gemaras. V'nir Ali says, it seems to me, da pasuk atzmo bierze. He says, you got to read the pasuk carefully and you'll understand. Da amr, what does it say? Lo bashamayim hi. It says, this mitzvah is not in heaven. What does that mean? Lo timtza esek ha-Torah begasei haruach. V'kasha, that's difficult. Ha'adirabba yidei Torah nishbar libo v'nishbar rucho. What do you mean? When you study Torah, what's going to happen? It's going to break your hardened heart. right? And it's going to lower your spirit. You'll be a more modest person. Like we have in a number of places, that if you bump into the Yetzer Hara, what should you do? Even if he's hard as a rock, he'll melt. The whole thing is answered. Lo b'shamayim hi. What does it mean, lo b'shamayim hi? It's not in heaven. Hakavana shenimshach mizeh. What's going to happen? He says, if someone lives in only a world of pride, he won't be able to learn Torah. If you're hanging out with prideful people, no, those people aren't learning Torah. But if you're learning Torah, guess what you're not? You're not prideful. The very experience of learning Torah will itself bring you down. Lo b'shamayim hi. Right? If you are up in the heavens, you know, with the people who think they're awesome, there's going to be no Torah there. But if it's with people who are shafel, you'll find Torah there. Lo me'ev, and now he says, what does it mean? Lo me'ever by layam hi. It's not over the oceans. B'sachran v'tagarim. What do we say? It's not with the merchants and the traders. Ki machmas gasas haruach eino mistapik b'muat. Why don't merchants and traders learn Torah? Because in order to learn Torah, what do you need? You need to learn to be mistapik b'muat. You need to learn to accept just a little bit. What does he say? Lachoz bedarko shel Torah. To go with the way of Torah, like it says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav. Pas b'melach tochal b'mayim mishura tishte v'gomer. You need to learn to live with very little, with just a little bit of bread, right? A little bit of water. V'rak mevakesh gdolos agadlos gdulas hakavod va'osher u'minkoch zeyom v'layla lo yoishpot asachranim v'atagarim ve'im p'nai lasok b'torah. What happens when all you care about is making money? So it's never going to be enough, you're never going to be satisfied, and you're never going to learn any Torah. Not that you can't learn Torah if you're there. You won't learn Torah if you're there. If your head's in the clouds, you're not going to learn Torah. If all you care about is money, you're not going to learn Torah. And that's why it's not a contradiction. So he says, "Shiyah nichna va be'emes im yirfse lasok b'torah v'adai sach gasos rucho." If you really want to learn Torah, guess what? The only way to find it is to find some modesty. He says, "V'zeh nirali kavanas ha-pasuk." He says, that's how I interpret the pasuk in Koheles. Tov kelev chai min aryeh meis. It's better to be a live dog. Dogs were considered very lonely animals, rather than a dead lion. Why? Ki ha-kelev, the dog, saveya me'achiloso gimel yamim shaloni sakel mizono me'ayav. A dog, you feed him once every 3 days, he's happy. That's how you can be a chai. You can be alive, which he says means a tzaddik. Right? A tzaddik, you give him a little bit and he's happy. But an evil person, what's he called? Nikra meis, he's called dead. What happens? When you die, it's an old statement that when people die, they haven't even fulfilled half their desires. What does it mean? Because a rasha, someone who is evil, he's never satisfied. V'atam, then what's the reason? Ki mivakesh yesh shalitu moshel kol shata tachas raglav. What does he want to be? He wants to rule everything under him. Kimo aryeh moshel b'chayos. He wants to be like a lion, ruling over others. V'im kein shapir amar ki tov la'chos b'madregas kelev. That's why it's better to be a dog. K'deish yachai yoser me'aryeh meis. Because that's how you live. Right? If you live by desire, you're never satisfied. But if you live by Torah, you find satisfaction. V'zeu sha'amar reish osher al titein li v'chanal. U'v'zeu yuman mamar Rav Alexandri. Now you can understand what Rav Alexandri says. Remember what Rav Alexandri says? That what were the two things that are stopping us from learning Torah? Seor sheba ishta, the yeast, and shibud malchios, the rule of other nations. Kishetachniyei milfaneinu hu seor sheba ishta. When you push down what's in front of you, when you push down the yetzer hara, the pride, hu gasus rucho, the pride that a person says, ayidei esek b'torah, by studying Torah, V'chol anosein alav ola Torah, when you accept upon yourself the yoke of Torah, porkim mimenu ol shibud malchios v'derech eretz. All of a sudden, it doesn't bother you that you're not the wealthiest dude in the world. It doesn't bother you that you don't have anything. It doesn't bother you that you're not the ruler, because you don't need those things anymore, because you're living in a world of the spirit. Shehim atagarim vasochrarim. Right, and who is it that cares about all those things? Those are the merchants and the traders who are constantly trying to make a buck. Umimela nichnami lacharenu, so you don't have to worry about the shibud malchios either. Shehim shibud malchios akum, shenase ben chorin. That's when you become truly free. What do you become free from? You're no longer a slave to your desires. V'hu adinei b'chod, the same thing is ruled the other way around. When you study Torah in such a way, right, that that becomes your goal and your purpose in life, not to rule over others. So then you don't have any pride either, because you don't need to be a ruler. And he says, if you're a scholar, there's no better way. And he continues. He says, I'll get back to what I originally mentioned. Sheyesh anashim bali chomer, v'anashim bali tzura. There are chomeradika guys, and there are tzuradika guys. Chomeradika guys, v'donem asha b'katsa b'ikitzveri kol ha'nishama, shem olam hu, shem yud and hey. Right? There are people who are material people, and there are people who are men of spirit. And the entire world comes back to the yud and the hey. Shinemar biyah tzur olamim. Ushar ausios achronos, the vav in the hay, him levusho el haneshama. What are they? They are merely externals. V'zeh she'amar yala kesya. Ki la'asid yeh lavush kemotsura. Kinizkar b'saba mishpatim b'sod v'ani. V'zeh yuvam yom shechar v'es ha'mikdash dayo la'olam, she'ishtamish v'ez osios. So why is it the world only needs two letters? Right? He says, since everyone has in front of them and behind them two things preventing them from studying Torah, what is it? The pride and the Shibud Malchios. Most people, they suffer under these. And that means that they're only Yechidei Skula, they're only Bnei Aliyah Mu'atim. They're individuals who are elevated individuals. Shehim bale neshama, shaaleim haolam kayam. Those people who are ruled by their souls, upon them the world exists. Shehim yecholim lehodos. They are able to praise God. Zeu shamar, kol neshama te'al el ya. What does it mean? Every soul shall praise you, yud and hey. Mi sheyesh lo neshama, shehu shem ya. Someone who is able to find that spiritual center, the yud and the hey, without the externals of the vav and the hey, but the yud and the hey. Yuchal lehal halel lehodo shehim bale atzura shehusar beiz minios. What do they have? The vav and the hey that get away in front of them. They wipe it away. Ayidei askam b'torah, because they study Torah. V'kari bein neshama shehim yimei achorba mash inkin shlatishu kol banayich limudei Hashem. But in the future, everyone will be a part of that experience.
I'm not sure how the yud and the hay versus the vav and the hay quite fits in, but...
But you have to know the Ari's Kabbalah. The vav and the hay are right, the externals.
Right. Okay.
Okay. All right, so there you have some of the earliest versions of Hasidic thought there. You have the duality, the neshama. You have here, again, not embracing the material in the same way the Baal Shem Tov does. But a lot of the, this is proto-Hasidic thought or pre-Hasidic thought. What you have here is the notion of individuals who are able to look beyond the externals, to see beyond the externals of this world. And you have Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya, we said, was in terms of the author, of being the author and one of the main disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, he certainly was. But he was not really the founder of the movement. The founder of the movement, we're really going to give credit to the Maggid of Mezrich. In Hasidic lore, there are some indications that the Baal Shem Tov may have chosen the Maggid over Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. It's impossible to know what happened. For all we know, is they went out into a field together, and they were schmoozing in Torah, and no one knew who said what or what was saying who. And when they came out with a movement. But Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polonia is certainly one of the essential rebbes in understanding the foundation of Hasidut. All right.